All right, Lambrick, Scott here. Good to be with you. Welcome into this space. Last Sunday, many of you will know, I shared part one of a two-part conclusion to our Bless study on five everyday practices for loving our neighbors in the name of Jesus. Bless being this missional acronym that invites us to begin with prayer, to listen to our neighbors, to eat with, to cultivate relationship and embrace, eating being a powerful way to bond with someone, to get it to a level playing field, and to cultivate shared relationship. And then the first S in Bless is serve. We talked about that two Sundays ago. And then last Sunday, I introduced the final S as story, with an explanation or exploration of conversion as a journey, and which frames witnessing or reframes witnessing as a participation in the journey of another. And to help us in that, I outlined or unpacked something called the five thresholds, a framework for making sense of the journey that many folks experience as they move from complete ambivalence to the gospel to a wholehearted embrace of following Jesus. It's a resource that comes from InterVarsity. You can look up Google Five Thresholds InterVarsity and you will find so much about it. We talked about it as a movement of first trust, from distrust to trust. The second is curiosity. The third is change, so becoming open to change. The fourth stage is seeking, so moving from meandering to seeking. And the fifth is choosing to follow or to embrace Jesus. I shared a link in the YouTube post last Sunday. Again, you can look it up. Google Five Thresholds InterVarsity, and you'll find lots of resources on it. Videos, but it's great. And with that, I took us to Colossians chapter 4 and 1 Peter 3 to explore the invitation of, or for ordinary Christians to share our faith in the sense of letting our life with God come out of the closet and walk across the road with us and step into our everyday lives with others, our conversations with others, to stop being so timid and afraid of speaking about this core part of our lives and let it come into the conversation, not in intentionally religious or overtly religious ways, but ordinary, everyday ways. And my hope with this was to take sharing our faith off the professional shelf and put it back in the hands of the rest of us, those of us who don't feel that we have the gifts of the evangelist, but whose hearts long for our neighbors to know Jesus. And I think that's many of us. That's part of being a follower of Jesus. God grows in us his heart for those that don't know him, longing like the prodigal father for the lost sons to come home and know the embrace of life with the Father in Jesus. At the end of last Sunday, I invited you to come back this Sunday with a promise to do my best to give you a tool for how to explain, or an example of how to explain the gospel to a friend in the context of a bless relationship. So I feel that today. I come in with that expectation that I promised that. So that's what I'm gonna try to do. But I wanna start with a simple definition of the gospel. And I recognize that most of us, many of us, have probably never had a friend or neighbor say to us, "Hey, Janet, can you explain the gospel to me? What is the gospel? Can you define the gospel to me?" That is not something that most non-Christians do, but I do think it's incredibly vital for Christians, for those of us that follow Jesus and believe the gospel, to here and there in our journey, maybe often come back to ask and answer the question, what is the gospel? Especially if we're hoping and praying that we might help someone else understand the gospel, we need a simple understanding of what it is. And so over the years, this is something I've come back to again and again. And recently, I've been mulling on a definition of the gospel that I want to share with you. It's the gospel in a sentence. It's two versions of it. So this is it. God himself has come to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. God himself has come to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. Or you could say, God is on a mission to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. That's the essence of the gospel, isn't it? So much more could be said, but not much less. God himself has come. God is on a mission to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. If you're on a screen where you can do a screenshot, or you have an iPhone or a smartphone out, you can take a photo. I want to encourage you to get a clip of this or to write it down. And I don't share this with you because I think you will want to say this sentence to someone else, though maybe you will. But I share it as a reference point for you as you think about explaining the gospel to someone else. And I'm going to walk us through a framework, a tool for explaining the gospel, but it comes back to this, us making sense of what we know the gospel to be. I think it's helpful for us to think about what the gospel is, even just for our own faith, our vision of the gospel. So let me ask you, as we pause here, in your own heart and life and soul and mind, is the gospel just something in the past, or is it something that impacts today? I think it impacts today. It's what we read in scripture. Jesus is announcing that the kingdom of God is open to all. And so this definition said God himself has come. God is on a mission to rescue and renew all creation. The gospel is news that the God of the cross is at hand and at work today. Another question. In your heart and mind and life, what does the gospel mean? What does it bring about? Forgiveness, I hope, yes. But what else? It's why this definition speaks of rescue and renewal. Jesus is, as he shows up in people's lives, both in the Gospels, in the Bible, and in our own experience, we see Jesus restoring people, renewing their souls, restoring their relationships, repurposing their affections, their habits, their gifts even. Rescuing and renewing of all creation, this definition says. Sometimes we limit the gospel to impacting only our hearts or maybe our past, but the gospel is ultimately about the rescue and renewal of all creation through the work of Jesus, past and present, on the cross, and now today by the power of the Spirit. God himself has come to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. If you haven't already done so, pause here and write this out somewhere right now. Maybe in your journal, or you have a study book, or a sticky note in the back of your Bible. I often do that in the middle of a sermon. I always keep a sticky note in the front of my Bible, and when something gets said that Daniel McDougall says that just hooks me, or someone else I'm listening to, I write it down, I leave it on the front page of my Bible, and I come back to it. Or maybe you want to text message yourself. I do that sometimes when a big idea comes at me. I don't want to forget it. And I want to encourage you not just to write it down or to note it, but to come back to it again sometime this week, or maybe every week or every other week over this next season, asking God to teach and lead you and us more and more into the reality of the gospel. All right, so how about explaining the gospel to another? That's what I said today would be about. Explaining the gospel to a friend or neighbor whom you've been seeking to bless. So we're not talking about just randomly approaching some stranger on the street, though God does use some people in that way. But for most of us, like Jesus, this is in the context of seeking the Father for another, of listening to, sharing life with, serving, and in that context of really relational evangelism, having an opportunity to love a friend enough to explain the gospel to them. Maybe you've been thinking through the five thresholds and feel like your friend is at a place where they need to understand how the gospel fits together, that this is the next step in the journey. I can think of a friend who is moving towards this. He's on a journey toward Jesus. And it would be really helpful for him to have the gospel explained in a simple connect the dots sort of way. And that's what I want this to be about today. As I've said before, I suspect I'm not an evangelist. I don't have the gifts of an evangelist, but I have the heart of an evangelist. I think that's an ordinary Christian thing. I'm much more of a Bible teacher, a growing theological thinker, a pastor, a discipler than I am a natural evangelist. So I'm always seeking to learn from others on this. And this week, I've actually reached out to a few friends who are gifted in sharing the gospel with others and asked them to share with me, which has been so wonderful. And then I've been digging into a couple tools, resources that I have used over the years that I find really helpful, and I want to share two of them with you. Tools that explain the gospel that make sense to me, and I think distill the gospel well. The first is Two Ways to Live. You can look up twowaystolive.com. It comes from Australia, Matthias Media. I actually ordered a stack of these a few years ago because I think it's really helpful. And the second tool is called The Big Story from InterVarsity. That's who uses it now. Comes from James Chong. I don't know how to say his last name, but Chong. But if you look up The Big Story, InterVarsity, you'll find lots of resources on this. Both are a diagram explanation of the gospel, which I tend to lean away from because I feel like discipleship and evangelism are fundamentally relational dynamics. I'm not seeking to help someone just understand an idea. I want them to experience in relationship who God is. That's how God works. He uses people. So I tend to lean away from tracts. I personally would never give a tract to someone unless I had talked it through with them and I left it with them as a reference for them to come back to it. That's how God has wired me, and I think that's a helpful way to approach people. At the same time, I've come to be convinced that there are times where we need help connecting the dots. And that's where a diagram approach to the gospel can be helpful. It can't be everything, but it can be a helpful framework to help connect the dots for someone. So I just want to walk you through how I'd probably explain the gospel to a friend these days. And I'm somewhat drawing on both of these resources, Two Ways to Live and as well as The Big Story, but somewhat of a hybrid. I can't take credit for it, but it's not actually theirs. It's mixed. But let's pray as we shift into this. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you who have come to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. Lord, this is at the heart of our lives. This is at the heart of our lives. This is at the heart of our world. This is the grace that we have come to know in you. And because you have come, because you were on a mission to rescue and renew all creation, we find ourselves today alive in you, growing in you, being restored, repenting, turning, being forgiven, being renewed with hope, God, that you are not done, but that you are leading us into the life of your kingdom more and more and on into eternity. We long for our friends, family, neighbors to know this life in you as well, to experience the grace that you have come to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. So God, guide us now. Guide me as I kind of process out how I would explain the gospel to a friend. But teach us in this, God. Use me, but speak beyond me, Lord. Help us, lead us in this moment and beyond to make sense of how you would help us understand, live in, and share the gospel with another, Lord. Amen. All right, so I'm picturing my neighbor on my old street, who became a wonderful friend, as I've shared about him before. I'm imagining him and I sitting on my front steps, as we often did, or maybe sitting down the road at the neighborhood pub, processing life, processing the challenges of the last while, because there always was, both in his life and in mine. He's someone I've shared my life with, which means I've shared bits of my faith with him lots, about struggles, about ways that I'm asking God for provision, for help, ways that I've experienced something of God's grace, something that's encouraging me, something I'm struggling with, a sermon I shared last Sunday, whatever. And I prayed with him over the months, over the years, on those front steps, in the yard, in the pub, about challenges in his life and mine and our neighborhood, praying for others too. In the context of this friendship, I can see myself saying to him, Sean, has anyone ever actually explained the gospel to you, the core of the Christian faith? I feel like over time, we've talked about a lot of things that touch into this, but I don't think I've ever really pulled these pieces together for you. And I wonder if anybody ever has. I'm wondering if that would be helpful to you. I kind of feel like it would help you at least make sense of me. But I think it might help you. So here you go. Here's one way of making sense of the gospel. You know, we've talked about this before. The Bible has so much to say to us, so many different stories, but all of it is held together by one kind of core or big story. And I want to kind of unpack a bit of that big story in kind of four pieces for us. So the first part, it's worth saying that the gospel, the Christian faith, begins with a good and beautiful God who's made a good and beautiful world. I am not an artist, okay, but think of this as the world, okay? And this is God, okay? God is a good and beautiful God according to the Bible, and he's made a good and beautiful world. And this God has made us in his image, which is an ancient way of saying that God has made us, humanity, men and women, to reflect God's character, God's priorities, God's passions, that we would participate in God's goodness and beauty. And we'd experience God's goodness and beauty and blessing together in this world, together in the four core relationships of our lives, I'm a slow drawer, so I'll just put two people here. We'd experienced this blessing in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another, in our relationship with the world, that we would be a people who bear God's blessing and how we care for creation, and within ourselves, that we would be people who... The Bible talks about loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And so God's vision, the Bible speaks of a world where we experience God's goodness and blessing and beauty in all the dynamics of our life with God, with the world, with one another, and within ourselves. That's where the story of the Bible begins, which sounds really idyllic, but I think the reality is all of our hearts long for this. And we have moments in our lives, we all do. We've had some of those together, where we taste something of us and we feel in ourselves, we say to another, oh man, this is the way life is supposed to be. We feel it. And at the center of this vision of life, the Bible tells us, is God. God, the good and beautiful God ruling over all, us living with God at the center of our lives, God as the center and the source of our lives. So that's where the story begins. But as you and I know, we've talked about this so many times, we've felt it, we've prayed about it. That is not the way we experience life in this world, is it? And that's one of the things I love about the Bible, because the Bible, I think, is really honest about that. It explains to us both that experience that we have and why. And the why is because in all sorts of ways, we have rejected God as the center and source of our lives. And that might sound like a foreign idea, but I think we know in our bones how often we are wired towards saying, no one else is going to tell me how to live. I'm the one who knows what is best. And that's the story the Bible tells us, that we were made to live in this good and beautiful world, experiencing God's goodness and beauty with God as God over us. But instead, all of history is this record of how humanity has rejected God at the center, rejected God as the ruler, and chosen to put ourselves at the center, declared in subtle, not so subtle ways that we know better, that we believe we can run our lives better than God can. And so instead of embracing life with God at the center, God as Lord, God, master over us. We've put ourselves at the center, our wants, our ways, our wisdom, our understanding, our cravings, our perspectives. And this is what the Bible means when it talks about sin. It's this fundamental orientation away from God. It's this rejection of God, this pride that says, you don't get to tell me how to live. I'm going to decide how I live. That's what sin is. It's a rejection of God's rule. It's an embrace of self-rule. And as a result, this life that we experience in this world ends up broken. And this is what we know, right? We live in a broken world. All of our earth is breaking, falling apart. It's not full of the goodness and beauty that God envisioned. Our relationships in community end up broken. Our marriages, our friendships with others, our neighborhood life, our life at work with others becomes so fractured and contentious and broken. Our relationship with God becomes distant, and we wonder if there is a God and why God would, and we have all these questions and distance and distrust. And our relationship with ourself ends up broken, and we find ourselves not experiencing this goodness and beauty and blessing, but a deep brokenness, which is both a part of the natural fallout of rejecting God, right? If the world is made to flourish with God at the center and we put ourselves at the center and push God out, it makes sense the world's going to fall apart. But with that too, this falling apart is also God's judgment on our sin, our rebellion, our saying, no, God, you're not going to be at the center. So that's the second part, the story of sin, our rejection of God and the way it's wreaked havoc in the world. That's a big part of the story. It's Genesis 3. But thankfully, the third piece of this four-part story, and this is where the gospel, which means good news, starts to feel like good news. Because the third part of the story, according to the Bible, is that God, the good and beautiful God who made the world, the God we hear about in the Bible, hasn't given up on us. But this God has come to us. This God hasn't abandoned us, but this God has entered into the story in Jesus. That Jesus has come, God has come in Jesus to rescue and renew us and the world. So I'll put us back in here. Jesus has come to rescue and renew us, to take the rupture, the sin, our rebellion upon himself. And there's three things here I think it's worth saying. Seeing, I said to you a minute ago that Jesus has come to rescue and renew the world through his life. First of all, in Jesus, represented here by the cross, in Jesus, we see what life with God, God at the center, looks like, the impact it has. Jesus' life and his teachings shows us what life with God at the center is all about. And as most people would say, the life of Jesus is the most beautiful life ever lived. Second, Jesus comes to rescue and renew us through his death. That's what the cross is about. Jesus, God, has come to take our rebellion upon himself. That's what the cross is about. In the death of Jesus, according to the Bible, God has taken our rebellion, the consequence of our sin upon himself, so as to break off the power of sin, to forgive our sins. So through Jesus' life, through Jesus' death, and through his being raised to life again, Jesus has come to rescue and restore us as we embrace life with Jesus at the center. That's what Jesus is doing. This is the good news that God has stepped in. Jesus, who is King, has stepped in to rescue and renew us, to reveal life with God at the center, to take upon himself our sins so we can be forgiven, and to be raised to life to unleash God's renewing grace in our lives, in your life, in my life. And that leads us to the final movement in this story, which is what so much of the rest of the Bible is about, is this final movement of the gospel, which is about what God is doing today. And the invitation for us now, pardon me, my slowness, to become participants in God's revolution in the world today, to become a part of God's kind of restoration community, contributing to God's blessing in the world, seeking, following Jesus, to seek God's renewing and rescue in the life of our world, in community, in the lives of others, in our world at large. That's the story of the Bible, the story that pulls it together. There's so much more, as you know, we've talked about so much more, but at the heart of it is a good and beautiful God who made us to experience life with him at the center. And then, but we don't experience that because we've said no to God. We put ourselves at the center and we've experienced so much brokenness and we feel that all the time. And you know it. But the gospel is this announcement that God has come in Jesus to rescue and renew the world through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And now we are invited to follow Jesus, to embrace Jesus at the center of our lives, to turn from our own self-rule and embrace Jesus at the center of our lives and experience God's renewing, rescuing work in us and become a part of God's rescuing and renewing work in the world. It's the core of the Christian faith, the essence of the gospel. And I hope the way I've explained this, though I know I haven't done it perfect and you all know that, I hope this it becomes clear in this that there's an invitation in this for us. Not just to believe and say, okay, that makes sense, but there's an invitation here to no longer live to choose, to no longer live with ourselves at the center, but to actually turn and let Jesus take the center of our lives. And as Jesus does, to reframe us, to renew us in the life of God, to renew us as we learn to follow him, right? We talked about his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so our turning to Jesus, our response is about allowing the life of Jesus now to become the guide that shapes our lives. It's about turning and putting our, confessing how much we need God's restoring work in us and allowing through faith the death of Jesus to take our sin to the grave and forgive us. And it's about leaning into Jesus for his life now to renew us and take us forward and make us a part of God's restoring work in the world. Okay, I'm gonna stop right there, friends. I have just blundered my way through that. You know I had some on my page, some on here. There's other ways to map this out. Two ways to live, the big story. There's other ways of doing it better than me. I think for me, to be honest, sitting in this room in the basement of the church, which is a camera in front of me, and not Sean, whom I know and care for, or other friends that I could think of, makes it really conceptual. And I think, and for me, that gets fuzzy. It's the same thing with every Sunday when we're together, back when we worship together. And I look forward to that day in the fall so much because looking you in the eyes guides me in knowing how I need to share to reach where you are at. And so my ideas today, my unpacking of the four stories, God and creation, the fall and rebellion, redemption and Jesus, and participation in God's restoring work in the world, response, participation, that is all framed through listening, knowing our friends, seeing them, knowing where this speaks to them, and not just speaking at them, but speaking with them. Today I've spoken at you, because you're not right here and you're not one person, right? But with that, I think honestly, I would want to say to my friend, Sean, where do you see yourself in this story? It'd be better if it had all on one page so all four parts of the movement were there. Where do you see yourself in the story? What parts of the story seem so obvious to you? And what part of it do you feel you need? Is there a part of this story, what I've just shared with you, that speaks something that your heart longs for? What is that? And what do you need to do with that? Is there a way that you sense God's voice to you as I explain this to you? Honestly, is there something, way you want to respond? It's one thing I've learned from Don Everts and Doug Schopp and the Five Thresholds crew is that when people are at the place of stage five in the Five Thresholds following, that often really there is a need for someone to invite them to respond, to call them to respond. Okay, what are you going to do with this? And I think that's something we need to do sometimes with our friends. Or to say to them, what's holding you back? What's the biggest barrier right now? You know, we talked last week about thinking of conversion as a as a journey, a road trip from here to Camp Imadeen. And maybe again saying, listen, if we think of embracing Jesus as jumping into the lake at Camp Imadeen and right here where I live or at the church, 1780 Feltham Road, as I don't care at all. Where are you on that journey and what do you need to get that last leg or get back on the road or jump in? Is there something, some way I could help you? Something you want to ask me to pray with you for to help you take that last step that I feel like you want to? Friends, I'm in this journey with you. I'm praying as I've walked through this week and thought about how I would articulate this. It's made me think a lot about my friends over the years and today, people in my life that I'm praying for, wondering how and where God is going to invite me next to share, explain the gospel to a friend and pray that they'll take that step, which we know. I need to want to say this again and again. Responding to the gospel is a work of the Spirit. It is not a matter of a perfect presentation. It is something God is doing in the life of anyone, of me, of you, of a friend and neighbor. And so we come praying our hearts out, but also just knowing we are just a participant in a process that God is up to in someone else's life. We get to do that. Let me close by just saying, what about you? As you listen to my presentation of, I wish they were all on the page here, sorry for that, but my presentation of the gospel of a good and beautiful world, I don't need to repeat it for you. Is there a part of that that you know in your heart today you're saying, wow, I haven't understood that dynamic of the gospel, that God himself has come to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus. Maybe your vision of the gospel has been small, or maybe you have not really thrown your weight into it. And today, God is saying, okay, friend, it's time to come. It's time to put your faith. It's time to become a part of this, to become a participant in God's rescuing, renewing, restoring ministry in the world. What does that look like for you today? What's the invitation of God for you today that you need to say yes to? Let me pray. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, living God, rescuing God, as our friend Daniel always says. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you have come, that you are on a mission, that you are at work in our world today, seeking to rescue and renew all creation through the work of Jesus, to rescue and restore us to yourself and to make us alive with you, to make us a sign, a foretaste and an instrument of your goodness and your beauty in this world. Jesus, we come to the close of our five-part study on blessing our neighbors. Lord, I ask that this would not be though this is an end of a study, it would be a continuation or even just a beginning of our being pulled out as participants in your ministry, in our city, in the places that you've put us, in the circles where you have us, God, on the streets where we live. Lord, I pray for my friends in our church, for the ways in which my life sometimes gets so busy with the life of the church, how sometimes we can become so consumed with our Christian friends that we are at a distance from all the people around us who do not know you, but need to know something of you and us. Lord, I ask that you would lead and teach, lead us to be more and more a people and a church who love our neighbors, who seek to bless our neighbors, God. Guide us in this, and by your grace, make us the means, God, of the gospel being revealed, made known and embraced by many, again and again, more and more, for your glory, God. Amen. Thanks for leaning in with me today, friends.